Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I'm here with Eleni, and I would love for her to introduce herself to you guys. She is a weight-inclusive dietitian. We connected on Instagram, which is one of my favorite ways to meet my guests on my podcast. And so I'll let her kind of take it on and, you know, talk about herself a little bit, and then we'll get into the topic today of health at every size and what that means for a registered dietitian, what that means for someone who has no certification yet, just kind of experience in the diet industry or the diet culture world. And yeah, I'm so grateful to have you guys here. So thank you, Eleni, for coming on.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. So thank you for that intro. So for everyone who doesn't know me, my name is Eleni Agresta. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I currently live in New York. My Instagram handle is Eleni, E-L-E-N-I, .the.dietitian. I like kind of changed my name multiple times. I actually originally had my name as the Curvy Dietitian, and then I realized that it wasn't an inclusive name. So if you didn't consider yourself, you know, falling under the curvy category, I was excluding you, which is like completely against what my goal was. So I've like evolved over time. And so basically I started off as a clinical dietitian in a clinical setting, working in an inpatient facility. So we took in patients that were previously in the hospital and were trying to get better from, you know, whatever surgery or illness that they had. And I was there for many years. And then I slowly worked my way into private practice. I would say, you know, over the years, my kind of philosophy and outlook in nutrition has really evolved and changed. And something that I really love about this like movement on social media right now is like, we're now becoming more weight inclusive. And, you know, we'll talk about Haze, health at every size and what that means. Whereas maybe like 5 years ago, when I first, you know, became a dietitian, this wasn't really the topic. And they're kind of, you know, I always kind of felt left out because I am in a larger size body. And even though, you know, in the past I have had weight loss, I always felt like I constantly had to like put that in there so people knew, because, you know, when most people think of a dietitian, they think of like someone who's thin and physically active, drinking kale smoothies and all this stuff. And like, you know, I had my own journey and stuff like that. So how I came to become a dietitian is a whole other story, but you know, I'm really grateful for this kind of space that's opening up for body diversity and really more of a health inclusive practice towards wellness and health and everything like that.
Oh, I love that you said, this is like so random, but I love that you said, and I live in a larger body, not kind of like how we sometimes identify with our bodies, like saying like, hey, my body isn't me. Like I literally just reside in this shell. Yeah. And I love that. That's a huge part of my message. And so I just wanted to say, I love how you said that. Cause I think so often we'll say like, you know, I am a larger person or I am a plus size, whatever it may be, instead of saying like I reside within a larger or plus size body. So.
And, you know, I think it's important that you mention that because, you know, society has placed such an importance on like that physical, you know, body and like what it looks like and what our, you know, American society considers like attractive. And like, if you look at through over the years, you know, what the standards of beauty are have like redefined itself. Back in the day, like you know, we had like Marilyn Monroe, who was like a curvier woman. And then, you know, as time went on, then like, you know, it evolved and then it was like super thin. And so like, you know, I think we need to like place less of a significance on like what our physical bodies cyclic, because at the end of the day, like, our bodies are supposed to change and they're meant to change. And even though at one point I was in a larger body than I am now, I'm still the same person, like, regardless of like what my body looks like. So I think it's important to like separate the two and just recognize that, like, especially, you know, men's bodies change as well. But I find that women, you know, if you go through pregnancy and, you know, when we go through different hormonal changes later on in life and, you know, premenopause and menopause, like, our bodies are literally changing and it's not even in our control. There's like hormonal differences and things like that. And I could go on all day about like different, like, estrogen plays a huge role in fat deposition in women and things like that. And so, you know, it's important to recognize that. And I think that the space of social media is beneficial because we are able to like kind of look at this in a different way. And I think it also could be a little bit limiting in the sense that, you know, when we talk about body diversity, it shouldn't just be like what we consider attractive. So now, like, the Kim Kardashians of the world, you know, and with plastic surgery and things like that, that's become like very mainstream. So women are saying, oh, I'm a curvier girl, but, you know, their body proportions are not very realistic for most humans. And, you know, unless if you have surgery, which, like, if that's what you want to do, I'm all for that. But, like, you know, just be honest about it. But, you know, that doesn't include all types of bodies on the spectrum of, you know, body diversity. And so if we start defining curvy as like a new attractive thing, regardless of, you know, whatever, then we fall into that same issue. You know, the same thing as like the super thin issue. Like, if you're super thin and that's your natural body, that's great. Like, that's your body. You know, yeah. I think that we can fall into that pattern and, you know, we just have to be careful about that.
No, I love how, because that was kind of the transition that I was even kind of going down, was it's so interesting how we, even like attraction is like, well, what do you look like? There are so many other things that make people attractive, just like how I think, you know, recently, and like you were talking about with dietetics, especially, it's like, well, what do you look like? How healthy are you? Right. And there's so much more to it. Like, I'm not just attracted to the way someone looks. I'm attracted to the way that they talk, you know, treat people, like what they do in life, what they believe in. There's all these other components. And the same is true for health. And that's exactly what we kind of wanted to talk about today, was you can't really define health as just an image. It's so much more complex than that. And I want to give a slight trigger warning, because I want to share a little bit of like my personal experience with, you know, weight, for example. So I might say a couple numbers. I'm going to try not to, but I just want to give kind of a comparison of when I was considered very, very ill from my eating disorder, my weight was actually quote unquote healthy. Like, I was at kind of a weight that a lot of, I guess I don't even have to use numbers. I was at a weight that a lot of people sit comfortably at for my height and for my gender and for my age. Like, on the charts and everything, I was somewhat okay. I was towards like the lower side, but I was quote unquote okay. And it just goes to show that like my body was not okay. Like, that's when I was hospitalized. That's when I was losing my hair. I had lost my period a long time before then. I felt exhausted. Like, all of these things were going on. And yet on a chart, on a scale, I was okay. And so I think that that just goes to show that it isn't one size fits all. I was a perfect example of my body wanted and needed to be at a higher weight. And now where I sit on the charts, I'm probably close to being overweight. I really am. Like, I'm probably in the overweight area, and yet I feel better than I've ever felt. And that's the whole purpose of kind of finding the health at every size, is it is so much more complex, just like our attraction to one another, so much more complex than just what we look like and the number under our feet.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why, like, I don't weigh myself. I haven't weighed myself in well over 5 years. Because at the end of the day, like, it doesn't even matter. And I'll go into a little bit of like an explanation into like what the actual like meaning or like definition of health at every size means, because I think there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of fat phobic fear mongering that goes on social media. Shout out to Jillian Michaels, because no she shade, just no tea. Doesn't get it out. No, yeah, I don't care. I, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you have over a million followers and you're going on saying someone who's a size 16, you know, is unhealthy, whatever. And she went after Lizzo last year. So it's like a whole thing, but you know, it is what it is, and we have to be able to call it out for what it is. And I think a lot of people, you know, the word fat has such a negative connotation, when if you like look up what the definition of fat is, like it's a part of your body, like it's a structure that's formed in your body, and your body needs like not only fat storage for like your health, but your body needs like, you need fat in your diet to help absorb certain fat soluble vitamins and things like that. And so when you talk about your, you know, during your recovery when you lost your period and other things like that could have been also related to like a very low fat intake, because as women, you know, we do need a certain amount and our hormones need to be produced and things like that. And when there's no fat storage left in your body, you know, that's kind of what happens. But as far as, you know, weight distribution on your body, like we're all so different. And the reason why weight is such a stupid thing is because like it doesn't say anything about your bone density. It doesn't talk about your body structure. It doesn't talk about like how much your organs weigh and things like that. I mean, I know it sounds so silly, but like it is true. And so coming from a clinical standpoint, I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the hospital setting and things like that, I would be arguing with the physicians because they're like, oh, well, this person is obese, so it's okay, like, if we don't put them on, you know, the enteral feeding, or, you know, if they were getting a tube feed or whatever, because they were in a coma, or, you know, out of it, and they couldn't eat. And I was like, you don't understand, like, just because they're in a bigger body doesn't mean they don't deserve to get adequate nutrition. All the studies show that regardless of, you know, weight, during times of like trauma in the body, like your body still needs nutrition. And it just shows the layers of like, you know, the bias that healthcare professionals have. And literally when you work in a clinical setting, it'll automatically calculate the person's BMI, mm-hmm. and it'll give them an overweight or obese as a diagnosis. And, you know, it's like a red flag. So when I was working in the hospital, they would like flag someone for being obese. And then but they would be coming in for like, I don't know, a broken foot or, you know, something ridiculous. And like, oh yes, you have a consult to talk about someone because they're obese, when they were there for like nothing, you know. It's just so crazy. And that's like, you know, our system and stuff like that. It's disgusting. And that's why I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. It's just so wrong and it's not helping anyone. But you know, when I talk about like, I don't weigh myself, it's not because I'm afraid to weigh myself. It's more of like, I don't really care what it is, because at the end of the day, like, listen, like the way that my body is shaped is the way that my body is shaped. And I carry more fat in my lower half and my butt. And I lift really heavy. So like, I know, like I'm leg pressing 600 plus pounds, well, pre-corona now, who knows, but you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot. Like guys, I out leg press most men in the gym. So like, I know I have a lot of muscle. And so like, theoretically, I know like I'm a larger bones person, like my structure just in general, but like at the end of the day, like, okay, I get on the scale and it says X number, like, what does it matter? It's not going to change anything that I'm doing. And pursuing, you know, fitness is not beneficial for me. It's not beneficial mentally. It's not beneficial physically. And like, you know, just finding your balance is really like the key. So when we talk about health at every size, it doesn't mean that everyone at all sizes are healthy, because you talk about your journey and you were like, listen, I was considered like an average weight, or, you know, somewhat in within that range. But I was so unhealthy, like I, you know, had to be treated medically for this. And so you can't make the argument that no matter what your size is, you're healthy. So that's not what it says. So when people say, oh, it's promoting obesity, you know, oh, you're saying everyone, even if they're, you know, X amount of pounds, regardless of like how large they are, that they're healthy, that's not what it's saying. That's a very like incorrect way of thinking about it. It's basically saying that regardless of your weight or your size, you are entitled to like adequate medical care, that you are entitled to eat in a way that makes you feel good for whatever that looks like, taking into account your socioeconomic status and all sorts of other social things. Like, you know, there are people who live in parts of New York and parts of the country where they don't have access to, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables all the time. You know, I I can go on to stories, but, you know, so these are things that we have a privilege, you know, to be able to go into a supermarket and not have like bananas that are rotten or tomatoes that are rotten, to pick out fresh stuff that we can financially afford it and also have access to it. It means that you are, regardless of your size, are entitled to movement that makes you feel good, whether that's walking outside, whether that's dancing in your living room, whether that's doing a Zumba class or whatever, or yoga in the park, or, you know, going to do CrossFit, whatever your heart desires. Regardless of your size, you are entitled to do what makes you feel good. And so it's just basically a movement of just trying to get like equality for everyone, because, you know, we know that, you know, there's vast inequalities, you know, in regards to race in this country. And this whole movement of health at every size is definitely rooted in that, because, you know, privilege comes with our skin color, you know, and it also comes with body size, where you can go into a store and fit into whatever clothes are there. There was a time where like that was impossible for me, where I would go shopping with my friends and I couldn't fit into anything at Abercrombie, because that was like the thing back then in like 2005 when I was in high school, 2008. And now even still, it really depends on like the size of stuff, but, you know, being able to go into a store and say, oh, I like this shirt, I could buy it and it'll fit me. That's a privilege, yeah. You know? So there is just a lot that goes into it, but essentially it's just saying that regardless of your weight status or your body size, you're entitled to all of these things, which is what many people just take for granted. And that's why I define myself as a weight inclusive dietitian, because you don't come to me for me to fix your weight. There's nothing wrong with your weight. There's nothing to fix about your weight. It's whatever other underlying maybe issues that you have that may be surrounding food or obstacles, I like to call them. So, you know, that's really what my goal is when I have a new client. It has nothing to do with their weight. And I gave this example. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much.
Oh, I could keep going. I love it.
I gave an example about the health at every size and, you know, being weight inclusive, in the sense where when I worked in like a physician's office, when you get a new patient, depending on like if they're all on the computer or not, oftentimes they'll bring in like just a printout of like what they're here for on like a chart. And then you'll like log into the computer and you can see like the patient. And, you know, if someone was sent to me for recent diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, they'll have the labs that are abnormal, you know, justifying the diagnosis and things like that. Usually the height, the age, sometimes the weight, but usually they would come and be weighed in the office, which is another reason why I stopped working in that type of setting, because I didn't like that. Like, okay, you come to the dietitian to be weighed. It's just a very anxiety ridden kind of thing. They're like, oh, well, I don't want to look, or I'm sorry if it's bad. Like, why are you apologizing to me? But anyways, so my goal for them, whether they come into me and their weight is considered normal or their BMI is considered overweight or obese, my interventions are going to be exactly the same. And I've seen many patients that had recent type 2 diabetes diagnoses and were normal weight. Yep. So my goal is to help improve your insulin resistance or improve, you know, the glucose uptake, you know, in your body through increasing like things like fiber and things like that. It has nothing to do with your weight. I'm not saying that if we don't make certain changes and things that work for you, that your weight may come down. But that's just not the point. Like, we don't care at the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I like to give that example, because a lot of people just associate, you know, type 2 diabetes with someone who is considered overweight. I can't tell you how many people that I've seen that were just regular weight. So it's like, okay, so what should I do? Should I fix their weight now? Mm-hmm. No, because it has nothing to do with like what our goal is. It's genetic history, familial history, lifestyle. It's all different types of things that come into, you know, how we work together to figure out what's like a good plan to help you. And, you know, I think a lot of people may not always understand that, because it's like the end all be all is obesity. Like with this COVID thing, they're like, oh, well, the number one risk factor is obesity. But I'm like, someone's weight is not a behavior, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just really depends on the case. Yeah. And that's why you can't gauge someone's health by just weighing them or looking at their BMI or just looking at them, because there are many people that are considered average weight or regular weight or underweight or whatever it is that have very unhealthy habits.
No, that's my biggest thing with like that is your weight is just simply a side effect possibly to another issue going on. And not everyone expresses side effects the same way. Exactly. Like if you eat only candy for like a week, your body may not gain as much weight as someone else's body. You may not eat as much candy as someone else, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many things that go into it, but it's the functionality of your body that is what's important. And so I think fixing, and like, I just put quotes around it, which is the thing about podcasting. I always quote.
I did
like,
it all the time.
Fixing, quoting, your weight isn't going to fix the emotions, the socioeconomic problems behind it, the relationship that you might have with food. There's so many things that go on when like people just attack obesity. And I think that that's a huge problem because obesity is not the problem at all. Like you were just saying, I have a really good friend who has type 2 diabetes and she's smaller than I am. Like there's all kinds of things that go into health and health at every size for me. And like, please, please like fix if what I'm saying is incorrect. And to me, health at every size was always just like, well, I guess it's twofold. One is that weight just isn't the only factor in existence. And it's become that. It's become like, oh, okay, what do you weigh? And that's like the first question that you get asked at a doctor's office or at whatever, but you could be in there, like you said, like I could have like an ingrown toenail and they're like, okay, could you like hop on the scale? And I'm like, why? Like, why I have this like thing. And it's just become this like first response to you having any issue. We got to check your weight. We got to check your weight. And it does become this anxiety ridden thing. Like we both know from firsthand experience, like and so I always thought it carried so much importance. I think that's the thing with weight is when doctors and physicians and the health, like the medical field, give it so much importance, we then think it carries so much importance, which makes us want to manipulate it, which makes us want to try to, okay, like searching what's the perfect weight for me and how do I get there? You diet, that's like you starve. And then you keep going down this cycle of like, okay, got to perfect my body. And I am I'm such a great example of that. I always thought truthfully that like me harshly dieting and harshly restricting and over-exercising or binge eating, like all of these struggles I had with food, I was doing them because I thought I needed to look a certain way because looking a certain way meant I would be healthy. Right. And I would do it all the time. I would be like, oh, okay. So like if I'm thin, that means that I'm healthy. And then I woke up one morning and I was in the hospital and I was pretty thin and I wasn't healthy at all. And so there's so much more that goes into it. And I think the other part of like health at every size is that every body type has like a certain set point, right? Where it's happy and you're just doing the best that you can with what you have. I think that's like exactly what you were saying was perfect, was like, sometimes in our lives, we might be more stressed out. We might not be able to get fresh produce. We might not really want to exercise, right? Like it's doing the best you can with what you have. And our bodies are so incredible that most often I would hope, or like, I'm going to ask you, I guess, the functionality of our body doesn't change just if we gain 5 pounds or gain 10 pounds or whatever it is. Like our bodies are so smart and we need to focus more on how we're feeling, how we're doing the best that we can with what we have and how we're honoring our own structure is pretty like what you were saying is like, where's our body happiest at? That's so much more important than what I decide my body should be happiest at.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I mean, our bodies are so smart. And I wish that I knew this earlier in my life, that it knows what to do with what you give it. And really becoming mindful and more intuitive in your approach is definitely like a happy medium. So like the idea is like wherever your body is most comfortable at with you, just like being in tune with your hunger and satiety cues, movement if you feel like it, or whatever makes you feel good. And whatever you just kind of mostly stay at is really like what your set point is, but that could really change. And I think the biggest thing in regards to COVID was it was terrifying. you know, you couldn't get stuff in the store. People didn't have access. I mean, not just, you know, financial access, but just like you couldn't go into any store and get what you needed. And the fact that gyms closed down, I mean, working out for me was something that I hated my whole life because I would force myself to do it, or my like family would force me to do it to like lose weight when I was like 13, 14 years old. It was a terrible experience, but my point is like I had a bad relationship with exercise, and only when I started to lift weights for the purpose of just gaining strength and just doing it because it felt good was when I like loved it so much. And so like I haven't stepped foot in the gym in like over 6 months now, and I miss it so much, not because I miss like being more toned or maybe not toned, I don't really know, because I don't really, you know, when you don't weigh yourself and you don't like have like any sort of gauge, like you can't really tell until you put on clothes that maybe were more fitted on you and become more loose and stuff like that. But the idea that, you know, movement is only good for weight loss, I personally would never recommend movement to anyone who comes to me that is using movement as a means to lose weight. Because I know that that's a very disordered relationship, and people are saying, well, you can't tell people not to exercise, but that's not the point. If it's coming from like a disordered mindset, it's hurting you and you're forcing yourself to do it. So, you know, being able to find a happy medium, and that happy medium will change over time. You know what I mean? Like I just, you know, women, when it's like their time of the month, like I get so bloated. It is so uncomfortable. And so if I stepped on the scale, I know it could be like 8 pounds higher than probably what it normally would be. And I physically feel it. And like, once it passes, you know, your body goes back to like where it was before, and like, it's okay. So I think finding what makes someone feel good, but I think people have been so like distorted, their perception of what feels good is so distorted from diet culture and years of dieting. So you don't even know what feels good. And that's the scary part. How crazy is that? Yeah. Like, and you know, when you mentioned like the doctors talking about like obesity is the problem and blah, 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 and that's why everyone's sick in this country. I mean, I think it's very irresponsible for any person, healthcare person, whatever, to even make these very, you know, paint this in like a very brush stroke, because there's so many different things. And the one correlation that I could see that has happened more so over the past maybe 30, 40 years is that dieting has become even more of a big industry. So we're talking about fast food increasing and, you know, more processed stuff. I don't really think that that's the problem. I think it's the problem is that we've been dieting for so long that weight cycling, we know now, is way more hurtful than just keeping your body as it was before, even if it was a larger size body. Like, you know, so when people come out with their pitchforks with all this evidence showing from research that obesity makes you more likely for this, more likely for that, I mean, you know, coming from someone like me who has a very strong science background, and I do rely a lot on research for many things, the way that I look at how research is structured is so biased from the beginning. You cannot compare one person to the next, even in studies that match height and weight to, you know, participants or whatever. Like, all these studies are like, in my mind, kind of like useless, because it doesn't take into so many different things, and we can't view the human body as like, okay, well, if you're all considered obese and then we put you under this diet and then only, you know, 30% lose weight after 12 weeks. Like, it's just, that's why like there's no definitive anything. That's why there's never been one diet that cures everything. So, you know, I think.
Point. Yeah. Well, like someone said once where it was like, if dieting could solve our problems, we wouldn't all still be dieting. Like if there was a one diet that just cured everything, like we'd be done, we'd have it and we would be finished. 100%. And I think too, it's so important. And like, I'm sure you see this as well, as like, every documentary I've ever seen, or every like medical person, I follow a couple dietitians on Instagram, and they talk about how the stress of dieting is actually way worse than just having extra body fat, or like the mental stress and anxiety and you know, you're not as social if you're like doing a really strict diet, right? You can't go out to dinner with people. Like you can feel very secluded, saying all of this from experience, like just to look what is supposed to look healthy I don't think is more beneficial to our bodies than just carrying a little bit of extra weight maybe.
And you and I talked about this. I mentioned this last week when we spoke, that I forgot if it was Sweden or Switzerland or somewhere around there. They had a prospective study where they followed people for like 20, 30 years and just like monitored their like diet composition, kinds of their weight, their like health issues, if any came up. And then like eventually, like when they die, like, you know, they note when they, you know, pass away. And what they found is that people in the like overweight BMI category, which again, I don't even like using BMI because it's so antiquated and stupid and doesn't mean anything. But for the purpose of the study, it showed like people between like 26 and 28 or something like that of the BMI scale, had the longest, healthiest lives with least incidence of like chronic disease. And it was just so interesting to me because, you know, a lot of practitioners, a lot of doctors, especially on Instagram, that like may have these huge accounts and are just promoting terrible things and just very, very much so cherry picking the types of studies that they highlight. And they're ignoring stuff like this. Like, we need to see more things like that. And really, like, at the end of the day, like, I feel like it doesn't even matter. Like, it really doesn't, because what's good for one person may not be good for the next person. You can't just compare people, you know, from weight status or height or, you know, gender.
Can I ask you, so why do you think that health at every size isn't just the default? You know what I, like, I don't know if that's too of a loaded question, but I guess like, why did we somehow come to this spot? Like the BMI chart, you know, like why was that created and why has that sort of become the standard of health?
So I'm not very great with like the dates of everything or like the locations, but I believe the first BMI like scale or spectrum was created in like the 1800s by some white male in Europe, and it was only used to assess like white men in Europe at that time. Okay. So obviously it was not inclusive of like different genders or different ethnicities or nationalities. We know that certain, you know, people from different countries have different, you know, body types. Mm-hmm. And so you can't compare someone who comes from like, you know, the Far East to someone who's from, you know, Yugoslavia, like, or, you know, any other country. And so, you know, it's just a very flawed mechanism. I really don't know why we use it at all, because the BMI really doesn't mean anything. And there are doctors that acknowledge like, yes, muscle mass matters, but okay, so are you measuring everyone's muscle mass? Like, it's just so stupid. Like, it's so stupid. And like, the only time I would say, I would consider it somewhat useful is in like older adults. So in certain cases, they have decreased needs because they're not as physically active, you lose muscle mass as you get older, but it's also helpful in assessing malnutrition in that specific population. So it's not going to be super accurate as well, but I do see a place where some sort of something like that would be kind of helpful. And I did use it in those populations. But other than that, like, I just don't really see, you know, obviously for children, growth charts are very important, and making sure that they're growing at like a steady rate and things like that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, I just don't see a point of yeah. using and it I at
think,
all.
Yeah. And I think like we've talked about, it can cause, you know, you go to the doctor, you're not really thinking about your weight, right? And that was my story. Like, truthfully, I went to the doctor's office when I was like 12 years old. I was an athlete, blah, 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 totally healthy kid, super active. And I was pretty much told like, hey, you're heavy, you need to lose weight. And I think what happens is then it creates a problem where there was never a problem in the first place. And then you spend a good portion of your life, if you're like me, trying to fix a problem that was never a problem in the beginning. And so it drives you insane. And going throughout all of this fixing, once again, putting quotes around it, actually causes a problem. Like looking back on my experience, like that's pretty much what happened was I didn't have a problem. I was told I had a problem. I spent my whole high school, college, and like very young adult life trying to fix this problem. And throughout that time caused one. And I think I'm sure you see that so often as well. And I think for the future, that's my hope with Health at Every Size movement and more incredible individuals like you who work in, they worked in clinical settings and they were like, this is not working. Like I'm going to try to be more inclusive and more understanding for that I'm working with an individual. I should look at their individual body, not everybody else's compared to theirs, because I think that that's the most detrimental piece that can happen is then you spend your life and it's hard to find that natural balance again. Like you said, like I forgot what, well, it happened to me at such a young age. I talk about this on my website before where I didn't really know then what my body was supposed to look like. Yeah. So then when I went through recovery, it was so hard for me to let go of like, no, like stop gaining weight or stop, yeah, weight distributing this way. Like this is what I'm supposed to look like. But I was pulling all of this from just some image that I'd saved in my subconscious from when I was 12 of like what I should look like. And I'm now a woman. I'm almost 24. Like I don't, there's no reason that I need to look that way. And I may not have ever been supposed to, I think is what I'm trying to say. Like we then totally lose touch of like just letting our bodies be and like doing their thing and focusing on all the other areas of life that there are to focus on than just trying to diet and just trying to lose weight. Like I think the biggest, like the saddest thing to me is that food and like weight, in my opinion, never really meant to carry this much power. Like they're just there. They're just doing their thing. Like it's just food. It's not that, you know, serious of a thing to try to perfect and, you know, morph into something more. And I just really hope that we see us getting back to that place of like, how do you feel? You know, what do you think about during the day, right? Do you have a social life? Do you feel fulfilled? Like all of these other things that also matter so much more than just kind of how much you weigh.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we're on the brink of a change. I don't know if it's going to trickle up to, you know, like the big medical corporations and like doctors, and it takes a long time for that. Like they're still very behind when it comes to a lot of stuff in regards to that. But I think, you know, as much of a difference that we can make now, and I think, you know, with social media and the ability to share these types of things and like things like podcasts like this, you know, it's a great way to like educate people. And I forgot who it was last week or the week before about, you know, commenting on someone's weight when it's changed, whether it's someone has gained weight or is losing weight. And I think, you know, social media could be a very toxic place when it comes to all of these things, especially, you know, people documenting their quote unquote journey with their workouts and their food and stuff like that. And it creates a very disordered, you know, perception of like what health is. And someone's like, oh, well, that's healthy. And it's like, I consider that very unhealthy. And, you know, like you said, like getting back to just like being normal people, quote unquote normal people, like just doing what makes you feel good. And I think, you know, you talked about how you were like, I didn't even know what my body like would end up looking like because I had this like perception of what I thought it should look like. And I think like the media, and you know, back then it was magazines when we were younger, you know, things like that, like it was very limited to what we saw. And if we ever saw someone who was in a larger body, it was either like not the main character, the like goofy friend, or like in some sort of comedy and things like that. And like, that's like what we, you know, that's what I grew up kind of looking at. Like no one looked like me on TV. Like I didn't know, like I didn't go to movies and see girls that looked like me. And even now it's still very, very limited. I mean, they're becoming more expansive and trying to like be more inclusive of not only size diversity, but, you know, racial diversity and things like that. But, you know, there's a long way to go. We have like a really long way to go, but I think like it feels different now than it did before. I will say that. And that I can, am I respecting it? Am I nourishing it in a way that makes me feel good? And some people don't even know what that feels like. I know for most of my life, I didn't know what that felt like. I didn't know how to eat when I was hungry and stop when I was full. Mm-hmm. I didn't know even the types of food that I liked. And, you know, it would come to a point where I would be eating something and I didn't even like it, but I didn't even know that I didn't like it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is such a thing of just going back to a place of where you're honoring yourself and kind of being curious. I remember one of my therapists telling me that is like, don't look at food or your weight or your body with any sort of judgment, be very curious. And that was like, I think that changed the whole game for me where it was like, oh, I'm meeting myself for the first time. How exciting, you know? And like, oh, I'm trying different foods. What do I think about these foods? I remember so many times, you know, I would like eat something and my parents would say like, oh, I thought you hated that, right? Or, oh, like they would ask me if I wanted to go out to dinner and where I wanted to go. And I would say somewhere and they were like, you always told me you didn't like that place. And we make so many choices and so many decisions about ourselves and about other things based on diet culture. And it's so toxic. And when you're trying to get out of that headspace, yeah, kind of just being open to what am I supposed to look like? I'm only going to focus on what I want to feel like. That's kind of my big thing is like, I want to focus on feelings, not physical things. Cause I tried that and it didn't bring me the feelings that I wanted or the life that I desired and such. So yeah, Eleni, I thank you so much for being on today.
Oh my God, like, thank you so much for having me.
Please go check her out. If you want to, yeah.
Thank you so much. Like, it's Eleni.v.dietitian. Thank you guys so much. And I really appreciate it. This was a great conversation.
Yeah, I've loved it. And you taught me because I really didn't know truly the definition of health at every size. And I hope that that message gets out more and it doesn't keep, or it doesn't, it isn't used as kind of this negative like connotation where I think it's one of the most beautiful things to ever happen to like the 100%. Health and wellness industry. So yeah, go check out Eleni. Please like this episode and we'll talk to you guys real soon.